Hey guys, welcome back to the Moto 247 show. This is episode 51. I'm Ezra Henry. Going to be going over Atlanta for the preview show here for round 13, I believe, of the Monster Energy Supercross Championship here. And guess what? We're back on the East Coast. So we got the East Coast boys coming back for the 250 class. And man, I think it's going to be some good racing. As everyone knows, the 250 class has been really blah, just really boring. At least I hope this round leads to some better racing because... yeah, it has, like, Glendale, for instance, sucked. Then going back to the East Coast, I don't know, just Hunter Lawrence, man, he's been on it. You know, both him and Jed are just really on their A game and looking really good. Can't wait to see those two race together. But, yeah, I'm hoping with this Speedway track, it can lead to some better racing and just, you know, throwing a wild card in there a little bit because I feel like we need some better racing. And then going back to Daytona, like I think we talked about a little bit in the last episode with Joey, the going back to Daytona where Nate Thrasher was looking really good there, like just in practice and all day long. And if I was signed up for Pulp MX Fantasy or if Rocky Mountain had a 250 Fantasy, I probably would have picked him, which obviously he didn't win that night. He got cleaned out in the sand on the first lap by Hunter Lawrence. But he still looked really good, and I feel like, I don't know, like, if it was more of a, if they went back to a football stadium, let's say they went to the, what's it called, like, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play. Let's say if we had Atlanta Supercross there this year, I would, I don't know, I feel like I'd have a little bit different of a take on, or predictions, more or less, on who's going to win. And I still feel like Hunter Lawrence is going to win. I want some really good racing. Been a fan of Hunter for a while, but I just want some good racing. I just, seeing this stuff where him and Jet just make it look like nothing. It's, you know, getting a little boring. But going back to my point there, like, if it was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I would feel like there'd be more of an advantage for Hunter. And I don't know. Like, I just have a feeling with the Speedway track, you know, going back a couple years ago, was it? I think it was 2 years ago, right? That Nate Thrasher won in Atlanta where he came out of nowhere and everyone, he shocked the world. So, you know, he might have some good vibes there, you know, getting that stadium. And even going back to Daytona, like I was saying, like he just looked really good in practice and just all day long, he looked really good. And I was really hoping he'd be up there in the main event battling with Hunter for that win. But yeah, maybe he can get some redemption tomorrow night here in Atlanta, or heck, it's daytime. It's going to be an early one. We got 3:30 kickoff time for the quote unquote, I guess, night show. For tomorrow Eastern time. So you guys on the West Coast, I feel bad for you guys. All you hardcore fans on the West Coast, I do feel really bad because I think free practice kicks off tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern time. So that's 5 in the morning for you Cali, SoCal guys and everyone over there on the West Coast. So good luck with that. You know, wake up and watch some race day live really early in the morning. But yeah, I think there should be some really good racing. Like I said, I hope we rebound from a boring Glendale and go back to the East Coast, you know, and get some better racing. But the track it got hit by some rain, and they covered it up. And it's, 7 o'clock Eastern time Friday right now, so that's when I'm recording this. And I know they've uncovered the track, and it seems to be pretty decent. There's still, you know, a lot of water everywhere, but looking at the forecast, I don't think they're going to get any more rain. I heard something else from someone, but like I was just looking at that right now, and it just seems like 66 right now, a little cloudy. And then going into the forecast for Saturday, we got race day, which is, it looks like it's going to be sunny in the morning. And then just, it's going to be, you know, cloudy and 79 for the night show. So I think that's going to be, you know, no biggie at all if it doesn't rain from here on out. You know, we've seen what Dirtworks has done in the past and even this year of, you know, really taking a really crappy situation and making it really good and making it just a track that's, you know, a lot better than I think a lot of people predicted. So, yeah, but I'm going to dive into the points right here just to get a little refresher. You know, it's been a couple weeks since East Coast, since Detroit. So a little bit refresh on the mind of the East Coast points. So we got Hunter Lawrence first with 151. Nate Thrasher in second with 116. We got Hayden Deegan in third with 111. Jeremy Martin in fourth with 109. Max Anstey rounding out the top five there with 104. Heck, I'll go down the 10th right now. Jordan Smith in that sixth spot, looking to get some redemption from Detroit. You know, he's been looking good this year. He's in that sixth spot with 92, so a little bit down from Max there in fifth. Then Chris Blows, the fill-in rider, he's been making a lot of improvements. It's really cool to see. I was really pumped for him when he signed with PC and getting that fill-in ride early on in the year after retiring late last year after doing a World Supercross. But really cool to see him just start where he was just right outside the top 10, and it's just been awesome to see him like chip away. And I don't know if it's just getting that fitness back and everything, you know, back and getting that going, or just getting the bike, you know, fine, like just dialed in, fine tuned and dialed in. But he's looking really good. He's making a lot of improvements each weekend. But where is he at here? He's in seventh with 88 points. And Tom Viel is in eighth with 85. So he's right there behind Chris Blows. Then Cody Shock's in ninth right there. Okay, I just lost my thought. Cody Shock is in ninth with 72, and then his teammate Colin Park is rounding out the top 10 there with 67. Then it's pretty tight right there with their other teammate as well, Jace Owen there in 11th. So I think there should be some really good racing, and Joe Shimoda is going to be back. So if you guys haven't been online, if you guys have just been in a cave without any Wi-Fi or anything, just been in a zone, I've been in that work trance or whatever and just been off the gram, chipping away, getting the dough. I don't know. It's been announced a few days ago, but if you haven't found out, Joe Shimoda's back. So this is going to be really good, actually. And when I first kicked this off, I'm 7 minutes into this pod here. Kind of forgot about that for a split second. But yeah, Joe Shimoda's going to be back. That's going to be cool to see. We're going to see how, you know, they play this out. I don't know if PC is cursed right now, but that Pro Circuit team is just like, the last couple of years, man, it's just absolutely sucked for them. It's just crazy, and the whole industry is talking about it, and I don't think anyone wants to see that happen at all, you know, especially to a team like Pro Circuit. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, we're all talking about it, and another guy falls, another guy, you know, like, you know, gets hurt, and it's like, what the hell? Like, you just touch that bike and you just go down, except for, knock on wood, Chris Blows is doing pretty good. So he's holding on that spot there as a fill-in rider, but they're getting one of their main guys back, Joe Shimoda. So that's going to be really cool to see. I'm really curious how they're going to play it out, though, because there's only a couple rounds left in this 250 East Championship. We got East Rutherford, Nashville, and Salt Lake City, and one of those rounds being a shootout there. So wonder if he's just going to get his feet wet, get some more gate drops, and get prepared for outdoors. I think that's, you know, we see a lot of guys lately over the last couple of years, let's say if they get hurt, and where they can potentially do the last maybe, let's say, two or even three rounds of the Supercross Championship, you see them just get prepared for outdoors, which is, I don't know, like, I totally get it, but looks like they're going to want some gate drops there, and, you know, as we all know, PC's desperate, because they don't have hardly anyone out on the track. You know, McAdoo was holding the fort down for a while over on the West Coast, and he ended up getting hurt. So it's, you know, before Shimoda coming back, it was going to be up to a fill-in rider in each coast with Chris Blows there, along with the fill-in rider on the West Coast, which is, as you guys know, is Carson Mumford. So we're going to see how, like, honestly, this would be so cool, though. Like, I know Hunterhurst is absolutely on it. Thrasher's doing really good. And then there's a couple riders just right off, like Jeremy Martin. But I'm going to talk about Martin in a second, but I'm going to finish my point here. But this would be like, not necessarily like a Cinderella story or anything, anything at all with PC, but it would be really freaking cool just to see after all the BS and all the crap they've been through over the last, well, this season, especially this season, but even going back to the last couple years. It's been a while since they've been that, like, just that force to be reckoned with, like the Star Racing team is right now. But it'd be really freaking cool if we can see Joe Shimoda come out on top. Obviously, he's not in the points race at all. That really won't mean anything. And plus, if he wins, I don't think it's going to affect the points at all. Like, where he's getting in between Hunter and Thrasher, because as I said, you know, Hunter Lawrence has that freaking huge lead with 151, and you know, Thrasher's down there in second with 116. So not like he's gonna, not like there's a 2 or 3 point separation there where if he gets in the middle of them or if he beats or gets first and whatnot. You know, it's, I think the points are pretty well set in place as long as everyone finishes the season healthy, which, as we know, Supercross is a freaking gnarly sport, so you just can't count anyone out right now. You can't say that Hunter has got the title. I see a lot of people that say that, which it's going to be hard for him to lose the this championship here, but he just has to keep it on two wheels, and you know, crap can happen. Like, as we've seen, shit has hit the fan for many guys, so do not wish that upon anyone. But yeah, there's a pretty big lead, so there's, I think the fight's just going to be for positions under first there. We got that, you know, 116, which is second there, then 111, you know, Hayden Deegan in third there, and then 109. So there's a pretty tight gap there between second and fourth. And heck, if you even want to take that down to fifth, Max Anstey has been riding really well this year. He's down there in the number five spot on the Firepower Honda, excuse me, there. With 104. So that's still not a big gap down to him, only five more points down to Anstey there in fifth, and he's looking really good this year, and got the gnarly get off in Detroit. But yeah, I can't count him really out of the mix either. So I guess as we've, I don't know, I feel like for many years the 250 class was so good, it was always really bar banging action, you know, those freaking young kids just going at it and not giving a crap about you know, like running it deep in someone or whatever, they're just going for it, and I love that. But it's pretty well set this year, the points. It's looking like Honda's going to get two titles in the 250 class with both the Lawrence brothers, and then obviously the 450 class is, you know, it's TBD. You know, you got Tomac and the Webb, and then even going back to Sexton there, which I believe he's 25 points out of it right now. And I don't know. Like, I'm a fan of all three of those guys. Have tremendous respect for all three of those guys. But really, really rooting for Sexton. That'd be so awesome if he can get back and you know, somehow make up 25 points, which it's going to be insanely hard on the two dudes that are in front of him because they're absolutely on rails and they're gnarly competitors. But getting back into the 250 class to wrap this up here. Yeah, it's pretty well set in the place. So I don't know. I'm just, my thing to keep an eye on for tomorrow is Joe Shimoda, obviously, then I guess the Star Boys and Jeremy Martin. Jeremy Martin's been looking pretty good on that Club MX Yamaha, and seeing their YouTube videos, what's it behind the, it's not behind the gate, is it? I always forget that. Like, I almost watch every one of those, but I always forget the name when I go to bring it up. Behind the Life, Behind the Scenes, looking it up. Behind the Race, I probably wouldn't have got that. The Club Life Behind the Race, but you know, they dive in and cover the race day and stuff, and it seems like Jeremy Martin's really liking it over there at Club, and he's been looking pretty good lately in Detroit. Got that gift in the heat race, courtesy of the Jordan Smith and Hayden Deegan little drama there, but he looked really good in the heat race there than in the main event. Honestly, he looked bad, like really good, and looked better than normal, but just wasn't getting that rhythm after the hole shot line there, where guys were jumping over that the hole shot line there, and he wasn't, so and he just had a different rhythm throughout that whole rhythm section. But he's a guy to keep your eye on. I'm not necessarily saying for a win, but just to be up there. Like, you can't count on Jeremy Martin. He's rad. You know, he's incredible, you know, past champion. Freaking gnarly, and I know it's Supercross, but heck, it's a speedway track now, and I don't know. I love Daytona, even more since I've been going to Daytona last, or I guess I went, not last year, but this year and 2021. But I gotta say, Atlanta is looking pretty good, and I was wanting to make it out to Atlanta this year, which unfortunately I'm not able to, which is a bummer. Cause not really too crazy of a drive, but yeah, I feel like this layout is going to be really cool, and it should lead to some really good racing, and I was just hoping it would stay relatively dry, but, you know, can't count out Mother Nature, you know, but it seems like it's going to be pretty good right now. But yeah, so that's the 250 class here. Dive into the 450 class. Get these points pulled up right now. Any second here. But yeah, this 450 title race is going to be really good. Like, I saw an interview with Webb where he's saying how both when he and Tomac won their titles, it seemed like the other one had an off year, which was, you know, unfortunate. And, you know, that's 100% true. But this year it's going to be, they're both going for it and going all out, and it should be really good. But I don't know. I wish Sexton wouldn't have that. It's crazy, like, how many times Sexton, like, just kind of got screwed over. Just, like, the most freak instance ever. But where are we going here? We got, okay, pulling up the points slowly but surely on this old AMA website here. And we're there, right here. Okay, here we are. Also, I wanted to note one thing, too. I forgot to mention it, but I was looking at the AMA website there for the points for the 250 East class, and it was crazy. Like, Hunter Lawrence, I believe he, like, I don't know, just seeing that on paper was pretty, or on the screen, whatever, but was pretty cool. Of, it was, like, all ones, and then just like 1-3 in there. Just shows how dominant he was. Pretty crazy. But here we go. 450 points. Let's get into the top 10 right now. We got in the number one spot, Eli Tomac with 274. And the number two is Cooper Webb with 267. Number three spot is Chase Sexton with 249. And the number four spot is Ken Roczen with 217. Number five spot is the crazy fast Justin Barsha, the Bam Bam machine of, Justin Barsha there in fifth with 216. Six is Jason Anderson with 212. Seven is Aaron Plessinger there with 196. Eighth is Christian Craig, which, you know, he's unfortunately out there with 150, so it's a bit of a gap down to him. Then right behind him is, in ninth is Adam Cerullo with 139 points, and rounding out the top 10 is Justin Hill. Definitely been a surprise this season. He's been absolutely on it. Really pumped to see that out of Justin Hill after coming back after that little short retirement stint there. But yeah, he rounds out the top 10 with 127. So as Christian Craig, you know, as he's hurt, as you guys know, you know, everyone's gonna make a jump up there. So that'd be pretty crazy if it ends up like the way it is now, including Christian Craig, you know, dropping down in the standings. Hill would be ninth, which is pretty crazy. But Dean Wilson is not too far behind him. Then it's a big jump down to 12th there in Colt Nichols. So that's honestly really cool to see Justin Hill doing that good. As you guys know, and like, he just, like, he, when he was on Moto Concepts a few years ago, he was looking really good. But to be out of it, then to come back and to be right there in the top 10 and insanely stacked field is pretty cool to see. And him, and another cool thing too is where's his brother Josh? He's in 13th, so he's not too far behind him too. But those guys have both been doing pretty good. Like, Josh has definitely surprised me too. He was P10 a few weeks ago, and just a big surprise. You think he'd be a little bit further down there, but he's also been looking really good too. But so let's get into this here. One thing, I see Kevin Moran's on here. Keep an eye on him, as he let the world know, was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago in Seattle, he gets a $5,000 bonus from Tank Masters. Shout out to them with that, you know, giving him that big bonus there if he gets a hole shot. So yeah, he has a $5,000 bonus for a hole shot. He looked really good at Seattle. We talked about it. Me and Dean in a group chat of, he mentioned if we're going to place any bets or something on Kevin Moran getting a hole shot. And, yeah, he did not get it, unfortunately, but he definitely went for it all. Like, he was not letting up there in Glendale, going for it all. Like, his life depended on it there. But I think this racing should be pretty good for fantasy picks for Rocky Mountain. If you guys are playing Rocky Mountain Fantasy or playing on a group there, the wild card is ninth, so that's going to be something to where, you know, it's probably going to be down there. Justin Hill, Adamson Cerullo, maybe Dean Wilson might get up in there. Colt Nichols possibly, but excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Need a drink of water. But yeah, the wild card is ninth. So I honestly don't know who I'm going to pick. So I definitely have to watch Race Day Live and go with my final selection after watching that, because I have no idea. I have, you know, those couple guys in mind, but I'm curious to see how it's going to play out there on the speedway layout there. But yeah, Tomac has, like, I feel like last week was a huge thing for him. Like, even, like, Cooper Webb didn't lose too many points, but seven, like, going from being tied there, you know, head-to-head right there with Eli Tomac, that's 7 points down, I feel like is absolutely huge. He's not out of it at all. Like, he's still well in control of possibly getting the title. There is 5 rounds left. So, yeah, still, like, he can easily get back in it. Where Sexton, he needs some luck on his side. Like, if he wins out, he still needs some help to, I believe it. Yeah, if he wins out, I think he still needs help from Tomac to get that title. So he's pretty far down there, which sucks. But seems like he still has that fire and that drive where he wants to end the season on a high note going into the outdoor season, which is really cool. Jeez, I didn't drink so bad. But, yeah, I feel like Sexton, like, you can't count him out. I think he's going to honestly be looking really good this weekend. Tomac's there. It's going to be really good to see, like him and Webb. Like, those two guys, like, they're just really tough mentally, along with just being just their raw speed and stuff. And, well, I guess with Webb, it's always funny with Webb because in qualifying, always people, like, they're talking about fantasy and, he's P7 right now in qualifying, and then he comes on the night show and somehow late in the race somehow finds a way to get it done. So can't count him out at all, but I'm definitely gonna consider putting Barsha there in my top three for fantasy, because he has been on it lately, and I feel like he'll do good here in Atlanta. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I think I touched on everything I wanted to touch on here. Yeah, the wild card is ninth, so definitely recommend watching Race Day Live. Normally, I make my picks well before watching Race Day Live, because I just don't want to overthink, because I don't know about you guys, but there's so many times where my original picks would have been correct, and there's nothing that pisses me off. Like, it's okay. Well, and plus now I'm so far down in my fantasy group. I think I missed a few rounds, so definitely am just frustrated with that, so I have to do good this outdoor season. But there's so many times where I make my picks, even change them throughout the week, then going into Saturday watching Race Day Live and changing my picks and having the wild card be right. You know, it would have been right if I would have stayed with my picks for Monday. So, but I feel like with the Speedway track layout, I think watching Race Day Live will be a good thing. But yeah, I think like Hill would be a really good fit, which I don't know, pick him. But I guess watch this tomorrow. Race Day Live tomorrow and see how it is. But yeah, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be a day race. It's looking like it's gonna be pretty warm there, a little bit cloudy. It's not looking like it's gonna rain, so hopefully the rain holds off and allows for some really good racing tomorrow, and hopefully brings back a little bit of a spark in this championship. But yeah, we're heading back in the East Coast, and I think there's gonna be some bar banging action. But I'm really curious to see how it's gonna play out in the 250 class, like we've seen over the last, you know, a few weeks, or going back to Detroit, I mean, on the East Coast stint, Hunter Lawrence has been on it. So it really sucks that Joe Shimoda got hurt earlier this year, because I think he would have been right there with Hunter, you know, giving him a really big challenge. So cool to see him back. Really curious to see how he's going to do, if he's going to go all out, or if he's just going to, you know, just try to walk out of Atlanta, you know, healthy and making some progress, you know, getting some building blocks built up there and getting a base going into so he can have at least a little bit of positive things and gate drops going into the outdoor season. But yeah, so that's episode 51 here, back doing the preview shows. My only one I believe I did this year was Houston Supercross. I was wanting to do these, but never worked out to where I can get it done before Saturday, which obviously Saturday is way too late to do this. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning into this, and we'll be back covering Atlanta next week. See you guys.
If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio.